Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. We hold our services at 1191 East Church Street every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12:30. What we do is we take a book of the Bible and we go chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what does the Bible say. So if you join me in Bible study this morning, if you just please open up your Bibles and let's look at it and see what does the Bible say. Selah means shalom. Why would they shorten the name of Jerusalem to Salem or Salem?
It was Salem during the time of Melchizedek.
It was. Salem is from shalom. It means peace. Jerusalem is they will see peace. When this is fulfilled, they are already seeing it. It's no longer a future prophecy, so it's not they will see, it's here. The Prince of Peace brought peace. And Salem also is his tabernacle. Tabernacle means the dwelling place, the place of his eternal throne, and his dwelling place in Zion. So it tells us in no uncertain terms that Zion, where Messiah will rule and reign, is Jerusalem. There's an awful lot of videos and books and movies out there right now saying that the Temple Mount isn't in Jerusalem. It's down in the old city of David. This says, no, it's not. It's right there on the Temple Mount where we knew it always to be. Go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verses 29 to 34. This is the first time in the book of John that we see Messiah referred to as the Lamb. In John 1, 29 to 34, it says, the next day John saw Yeshua coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. That's so important. Who is older, John or Yeshua? John is by 6 months, but he's saying, here, Yeshua came before me. Even though I'm physically 6 months older, Yeshua was before me. Why? Because Yeshua was from the beginning. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Verse 31 says, I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. And then, of course, we have Revelation 7, where the 144,000 are sealed. Yes?
When the dove was ascended, was it only John who witnessed or everybody else there saw?
Everyone else there saw too. Revelation chapter 7. After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, Revelation 7:1, holding the four winds of the earth. The four winds refer to war. That the winds should not blow on the earth, that's Israel, or on the sea, that's the Gentiles, or on any tree, those are the kingdoms of the world. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, just like we saw in Ezekiel. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Okay, so let's go back to Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. And that's exactly what we see. I had a question on... Go to meeting. Susie.
Yes, sir. Sorry to bother you.
No worries.
That seal that we're mentioning now, that we're mentioning now, do we feel that it is a seal in the same manner that we spoke of being thought, or are we talking an actual physical seal?
In Revelation chapter 7, it's talking about them being indwelt by the Holy Spirit, which is the seal of God.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. So those 144,000 were not saved when the trumpet blew. They saw the rapture and said, uh-oh, we got to get right with the Lord now. And it's going to be like the Apostle Paul, I think, on the Damascus Road. The Lord's going to appear and say, buck up, get ready, I got work for you to do. So Revelation 14:1, then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written on their forehead. So they are obedient to the Father. So yes, it's a little bit of both. They will, in their thoughts and patterns, follow after God wholeheartedly. They will reject any of the false teachings of the false Messiah. Verse 2, and I heard a voice from heaven, like the sound of many waters. Who had a voice like the sound of many waters in Revelation chapter 1? Let's go look. Revelation chapter 1. No. That was in chapter 4. That was of John. But in Revelation chapter 1 verse 15, when they're describing Messiah, what he looked like, how he appeared, John says, his feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice was as the sound of many waters. So here in Revelation 14, verse 2, this is Messiah speaking with a voice that sounds like many waters. And I heard a voice from heaven like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of loud thunder, which means what? Was it a little soft whisper? No, it boomed. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. No, this is not the raptured and resurrected saints sitting on clouds with little halos and wings playing their little harps. That's not it. But let's talk about the many waters. Let's go to Ezekiel 43. What happens in Ezekiel 43? Messiah returns. Ezekiel chapter 43, verses 1 and 2. Ezekiel 43, verses 1 and 2. Afterward, he brought me to the gate that faces toward the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. Who's bearing that glory? Yeshua is. His voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. So it's the same voice in Ezekiel 43:2, when Messiah comes to the Mount of Olives, goes across the Kidron Valley into the Temple Mount, to the temple, and sits on the mercy seat to rule and reign.
Is that real similar to the description of the voice at Sinai?
It is. Mm-hmm. Because it's the same voice. And if you want to look at the sound of many waters, waters referring to the seas refer to the Gentiles. If you're speaking in the many languages of the nations, that could be what they mean by like many waters. And we saw it again in Revelation chapter 1, verse 15. Let's turn now to Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35. In Isaiah chapter 35, verse 10, it talks about how the children of Israel and those that are saved by the Lord are going to return to Zion, to Zion. It says, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, And the word we're singing means accompanied by musical instruments like the harps. With everlasting joy on their heads. What do they mean, everlasting joy? Isn't there going to be a lot of harm and stuff in the Messianic kingdom? The answer is no, it'll be a kingdom of peace, love and harmony. It says, they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Beautiful promise. And of the harps, let's look at Psalm 98, verse 5. It said in Isaiah 35:10, they're going to come singing, and I mentioned it'll be accompanied by the harps. It didn't say that there, but it does here. Psalm 98:5 says, sing to the Lord with the harp and the sound of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord, the King. So when they come singing to the Lord, when he returns and rules and reigns on Mount Zion, they're going to be accompanied by the harps and the horns and the trumpets. And they'll be singing psalms. Look also at Psalm 33, verse 2. We'll start in verse 1 for context, because it's so pretty. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. So it's a harp with 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Does that sound like Revelation chapter 5? And they sang a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. A shout of joy is a teruah, which can mean an awakening trumpet blast accompanied by a shout of joy when the righteous come before the Lord and begin to sing, as they do in Revelation chapters 4 and 5. But the harp fascinates me. Today in music we have octaves, right? Octaves are 8. So and a harp today that was an octave harp would have 8 strings. But in the kingdom that's coming, it won't be an octave. I don't know the word for 10, but it'll be a 10-note octave. That's why the harps have 10 strings. So the music in our world has been diminished. When we get to the kingdom, music is going to be back to the fullness of joy that it had before. And yes. Let's go to Revelation 5 and look. Sing a new song. Revelation chapter 5, it tells us the words. Revelation 5. In Revelation 5, the rapture and resurrection has occurred. We have received our white robes and our crowns. We've been through the Bema Seat judgment. And they're looking for someone who's worthy to open the scroll, the 7-sealed scroll. And finally, they say, the Lamb is worthy. Look at Revelation 5:5. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, that's Messiah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its 7 seals, meaning he has been found to be worthy. So in verse 9, the raptured and resurrected saints sing a new song, and here it is, saying, meaning these are the very words, you, that's Messiah Yeshua, are worthy to take the scroll, that's the scroll with the 7 seals, and to open its seals. For you were slain. When was Messiah slain? That's the crucifixion. And have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Meaning from every nation of the world. So this is not the few that arose when Messiah arose that were just from Israel. This is from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. And have made us kings and priests to our God, which is the promise of Revelation 1:6. And we shall reign on the earth. That's the new song that they'll be singing. Let's go to Jeremiah Jeremiah, chapter 31. Jeremiah 31, verses 1 through 14. It describes the joy when we get to return to Jerusalem with Messiah on the throne. Jeremiah 31, verse 1. At the same time, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people who survive the sword, that is the wars that sent them out into captivity, found grace in the wilderness, that is, they got saved in the wanderings. Israel, when I went to give him rest. Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you, that is, drawn you back to the land, back to me. Again, I will build you, and you shall be rebuilt, O Virgin of Israel. You shall again be adorned with your tambourines. You shall go forth in the dances of those who rejoice. You shall yet plant vines on the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant and eat them as ordinary food. For there shall be a day when the watchman will cry on Mount Ephraim, arise, let us go up to Jerusalem to the Lord our God. For thus says the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country. That's happening right now. And gather them from the ends of the earth. That's in Matthew chapter 24, when the tribulation ends, are gathered from the four corners. Among them, the lame, the blind, the woman with child, the one who labors with child together, a great throng shall return there. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications I will lead them. I'll cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way in which they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations. Who's this to? This is to the nations. And declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he who scattered Israel will gather him, and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob, and ransomed him from the hand of one stronger than he, that is stronger than Jacob, not stronger than the Lord. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, streaming to the goodness of the Lord. For wheat and new wine and oil, for the young of the flock and the herd, their souls shall be like a well-watered garden. They shall sorrow no more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old together. For I will turn their mourning to joy. I will comfort them and make them rejoice rather than sorrow. I will satiate the soul of the priest with abundance, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, says the Lord.
Point?
Yes.
I don't understand the Ephraim being the firstborn. Is that firstborn of the nations, or?
It's actually the fact that, remember, Ephraim was actually the son of Joseph, mm-hmm. and was adopted by Jacob. Right. An adopted son takes on the firstborn status.
Oh.
So, Ephraim, who was a Gentile, was adopted into the nation of Israel and given the status of the firstborn. So that's why he's referred to as the firstborn. Back to Revelation chapter 14. Back to Revelation chapter 14. Are we there? Verse 3. They sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures. They're the Ophanim, who carry the throne of God, and the elders, that is the 24 elders, 12 from Israel, 12 of the New Testament apostles, I believe. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. So they have a special song all of their own. Can you imagine the joy of those who have missed the rapture and resurrection because they weren't saved, but the Lord appears to them and brings them to salvation and seals them and gives them the mission of taking out the gospel to the world? What a precious status that would be. So they have their own song of praise and glory to the Lord. Verse 4, these are the ones who are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 2. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2. This is the way the Apostle Paul is addressing those new believers in the church at Corinth. He says, "For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy." That is, I don't want any idolaters trying to take you away. He says, "For I have betrothed you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Messiah." So these have been saved. They've been indwelt by the Holy Spirit. They are dedicated to God. They will not follow after the false Messiah. They will not take part in any pagan idolatry. They simply will not do it.
Excuse me, Wayne?
Yes, ma'am.
So would those women in Revelation be regarding to different religions?
There's a couple of different meanings. So here, they will be virgins. So they're going to be unmarried. They're going to be free to travel. They're not going to have families to travel along with them. But also, they will not have taken part in the false religions of the world. Both are true.
Okay. I know in Israel they have those the Levites practicing to be priests. Could that be in regards to them, possibly?
Oh, it's hard to tell. Levites only come from one of the 12 tribes, and the 144,000 come from all 12 tribes.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Yeah. But the point of verse 4 is they're unattached, they're dedicated to the Lord and Him only, and they will not be influenced by the false prophet, no matter how many miracles they do, and they're going to take the gospel message forward wherever the Lord tells them to go. It says wherever he goes, they're going to take the gospel out to the world. It says these were redeemed from among men. That is, after the rapture, there's people left on the earth, and these are 144,000 that are going to get saved. When it says being first fruits to God, meaning in the tribulation period, they are the first to get saved. After the rapture and the resurrection, they are the first to come to know the Lord and be saved by faith. Being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. So they are going to be like Revelation 14:12 describes. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Yeshua. So there is no conflict between obeying the commandments of God and being saved by faith the Messiah. I hear somebody out going to meeting land. Is somebody wanting to ask a question?
I do. It's Cassandra.
Okay, Cassandra first, then Susie.
Okay, the scripture you just shared with us in 2 Corinthians 11. Too,
yes,
I was wondering, does that pertain to us now?
Yes, that pertains to us now.
Okay.
In Revelation 19, we're going to see the believers described as the virgin bride. Okay, Susie.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Wayne. Does this imply that the ones that are of the 144,000 are only men?
Yes, they're only men.
Only men. Thank you.
Yes. Revelation 14, verse 5, and in their mouth was found no deceit. That is, they're going to not be sinful people. They're going to have repented of all their sin. They're going to walk uprightly. They're going to tell the gospel message. They're going to tell it straight. They're going to tell it true. And they're not going to worry about the consequences of being true to God. It says, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Just keeps reemphasizing the fact that they were not saved when the trumpets blew and the rapture and resurrection took place, but they have since been saved truly, completely, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and they will take the true gospel forward to all people in all nations. In verse 6 it says, then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven. So this is going to be one of the angels with wings, perhaps one of the seraphim who have the six wings, the three pairs. But they're flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. So this angel is the angel of the 144,000 that are going to go with them, that are going to protect them, they're going to give them power and authority, and are going to make sure that the gospel message gets preached where? To every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. Let's go back to John chapter 3. Because there are people who say, oh, the 145,000, they're only going to prophesy and preach in Jerusalem. No, it says to everyone, everywhere. John chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. John chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is twice we've seen whoever in these three verses. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, meaning this is why they're going to be sent to the lake of fire. That the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Meaning what? They didn't want to repent. And that, unfortunately, is the message I hear too often in today's traditional churches. Repentance is not necessary. In fact, it's forbidden. You must continue in your sin to show how merciful and mighty God is. Didn't Paul address that in Romans 6? What then, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? What did he say? God forbid. Or in the New King James, certainly not. But anyway, John 3:20 goes on, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. So in verse 21 it says, but he who does the truth. Well, that's about all the time we have for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this Bible study and you want more information on what we teach, please go to our website at www.john1415.org, where you'll find all of our Bible studies for the past 3 or 4 years in MP3 format, organized by book. And we've covered just about every book of the Bible. So you can listen online or you can right-click on the link and download the file to your iPhone, iPad, or however you like to listen to your teachings. May God bless you. We'll see you next week.